Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
If I were to ask you individually which Bible character would you like to be, probably we would get a whole variety of different answers. All of us would like to line up with, all of us would sort of like to be certain characters that we see throughout the Bible. From the Old Testament, there are a wealth of good examples whenever it comes to men as well as whenever it comes to women. And probably each and every one of us would have our favorites and we would say, well, if I could choose for myself, I would like to be like this person or like to be like that person. There are also not only good characters, men and women, there are also bad characters. And if I were to ask you, are there any of those characters in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, for that matter of fact, that are identified from an evil standpoint? Can you relate with these individuals in any form or fashion? We might be a little hesitant to do that, but in truth, if we're honest with ourselves, not only are there individuals that are presented in a positive perspective from a biblical standpoint that we would like to be, and probably we do align with to a degree, there are also those negative figures in Scripture that if we take a close look to ourselves, we can say, you know, I can indeed relate with those individuals. Well, the people that I want us to talk about tonight, as we reflect upon ourselves as Christians, and do we or can we relate with these people, come from the time of the cross. I want us to look at four different people, at least four different people here in the context, as to the way in which they are presented leading up to the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about these people, we oftentimes have these horrified feelings and thoughts with reference to the hatred and the cowardice that was displayed there that day. We look to the hatred of the Jews especially, and how that the Sanhedrin Council applauded with other Jewish leaders and such to come against Jesus and to entrap him with bogus charges so that they could put him to death on the cross. And not only those individuals, even those who refused to speak up, those who refused knowing that the charges were not valid and knowing that Jesus had not done anything in violation of man's law or God's law, those cowards who would not speak up, we look to those individuals and we say, that is just not right. Why? Because normal people don't do what these people did. Amen? Normal people should not really and truly have this hatred that these individuals displayed. And if they have ill feelings, normal people don't act out like that. And yet these people did, so much so that they have voiced their hatred towards the Lord and they have displayed their cowardice in the fact that they did not come in His defense. And how do you and I look to these individuals? You and I want to distance ourselves from them. Amen? We don't want to be anything at all like them. And in truth, we're very hesitant, as I said a minute ago, even to admit that there may be aspects of our lives that we can relate with them on, that we would align with them in regard to this matter. In honesty, I'm going to tell you that I can relate with these people. There's been times in my life, and probably if I'm honest with myself, times even today where I can relate with these people that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And I want you also to be honest with yourself in respect to the things that we're going to see. What did these people do and how can we relate with them? Take into consideration Judas. Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas Iscariot is identified there. Iscariot's the location of which he came from. What do we know with reference to him? He was an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus chose him to be one of his apostles. And with regard to this matter, he was over the treasury. And what type of an individual was he? He was very greedy. And the Lord knew that about him. I believe that's also a part of why he is a part of God's eternal plan, because God knew that his son would be betrayed into the hands of those who would eventually put him to death on the cross. And yet at the same time, I want us to understand that Judas had a free will in all that he chose to say and to do. God used this man because he knew that this is the way that he was. But at the same time, Judas, with his free will, free moral agency, as we oftentimes say concerning that, he chose to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And I ask you, had there ever been a time in your life where that you have been guilty of a betrayal of the Son of God. You might quickly say, well, I wasn't there, and there's no way under the sun that I could have done that because I wasn't there. And my friends, let me say that even though that we're not physically there, the Scripture does identify that there are times in our lives where that we are as guilty as those individuals of betraying Jesus and putting Him to the cross as what Judas and these other individuals were guilty in the sight of God. That's the way that He sees us. Whenever we repeat or whenever we do similar things as to what these individuals have done. So therefore, I ask again, can you relate with Judas in his betrayal of the Son of God, betrayal of Jesus? Are there times when maybe you've allowed greed to come between you and God? Money. The Bible says that certainly we must all earn our keep by the sweat of our brow. But yet at the same time, the Scripture warns us concerning money that it's not money itself that's bad, but He says the love of money, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, is the root of all kinds of evil. Every sorts of evil comes from an individual's love for money. And are there times when maybe you've not been as honest as you needed to be in maybe a business deal or something like that? Or are there times where that you could have gone to worship services or you could have engaged in some sort of a service in the kingdom of God, but yet at the same time you chose money over what it was that God maybe wanted you to do at that moment, being with God's people and such? And therefore, I want to remind us is that greed factored into why I believe Judas did what he did. And we can be guilty of this same type of sin today, betraying Jesus, if we are an individual of greed. And along with that goes selfishness, does it not? Judas was not thinking about himself or about anyone else. He wasn't thinking about Jesus, but rather he was strictly thinking about himself, what it was that he was going to gain. And we can be guilty of betraying Jesus if we allow ourselves to get in the way of serving Jesus in regard to our everyday walk of life. The Scripture says that, ask the question, actually, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And I would trust that all of us at some point in our lives have been guilty of allowing something to come between us in exchange for our soul. But then also let's think about Simon Peter. Simon Peter denied Jesus, and with respect to this matter, we know that Peter came also to serve as an apostle of Christ. And who is it that told him? His brother Andrew. And whenever we find this man, Peter, serving along beside Jesus and the other apostles, he is all in, is he not? In fact, sometimes he's all in to the point to where he makes multiple mistakes and he even puts his foot in his mouth. Sometimes I think maybe even both feet would fit into his mouth because of the things that he would say and the things that he would do. But yet at the same time, I want to be fair with this man and to say he was indeed a very genuine man. I think that we find that as you look to the totality of everything that's said about him. And remember the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples as they are reclining and consuming the Passover meal with one another. Jesus has identified that one would betray him, that's Judas, and that another would deny him. And Peter says, no, Lord, not me. Lord, I would even dare to die for you. And then what happened? It was him. He denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, fulfilling the Scripture and fulfilling what it was that God had identified would take place with respect to this individual and his son's death on the cross. Have there been times when that you and I maybe have denied Jesus with our words or maybe with our deeds? Are there times when that you and I have had opportunities that come our way where that maybe we should have spoken up, we should have said something about Christ and about the church in a positive light, but we didn't do that? Or maybe something came up and we had an opportunity to say something positive and we didn't, we said something negative. That, my friends, is a denial of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or deeds. Have there been opportunities where that we could have stepped in and helped somebody or stepped in and done this or that that would have proclaimed, maybe not with our words, but with our actions, that that I'm a Christian and that I'm here to help, and my help is to represent God because I want to bring glory and honor to my God. Have there been times when maybe you and I have denied Christ from that term or that angle? There are three things, actually four as I think about it now. There are four things that whenever they're out on the table, if you would, you can't put them back. Toothpaste is one of those. When you squeeze it out, you can't get it back in the tube, right? That's the one I thought of. What about a neglected opportunity? Whenever it's neglected and that opportunity passes by, it passes by. You can't get it back. An arrow that is released from the bow, once it's out, you can't get it back. And words that are spoken in haste from the hearts, once they're on the table, you can't get them back. There is a story told about a church leader who was thinking of ways in which he would be able to stand before the church and to exclaim God's word, proclaim the word, and to try and get people to understand maybe how that they would be able to show themselves as a Christian before the world, and that the world would be able to recognize this simply because of the way in which they lived. And so therefore he thought, well, I'll just ask a simple question. And it was an assembly where that both the young and the adults were in together. And the man says, why do people call me a Christian? And it was silence for just, seemed like forever, the man says. But shortly after just a few seconds passed, this one little kid raised his hand. And he says, preacher, I know why, maybe. And he says, why is that? He says, maybe it's because people don't really know you. If people know the way that we are, would they say that our life is a portrayal of Christ or a denial of Christ? You see, I think that Peter regretted certainly what he did, and God wants us to regret those times when that we may not properly proclaim Him before the world, and therefore it serves as a denial. And I remind us of what Jesus teaches us in the book of Matthew chapter 10, 33, 32, 33, 34, where He says that if we can confess His name before men, that He will also confess or profess our name before our Heavenly Father. And that confession, my friends, is more than when we confess Christ in baptism, but that is every single day of our life. We are professing our faith before the entirety of the world. But let's think about a third group here. The third people that I want us to think about in this context of relating with, can you relate with the cowards who rejected Jesus that very day? I know that there are times when that I can. I remember whenever I first became a Christian, and in fact, I think I shared this with you guys some years ago, but after 10 years, I can't remember things, so I'm going to share it again. Whenever I first became a Christian, I was so excited, brought up in the church, and confessed Christ to be the Son of God, and we didn't have a baptistry out in the country where I went, so we drove 16 miles in town to the Paoli Church of Christ. And I was immersed there. My grandparents went to that congregation on my mom's side. My other side went with us out in the country. And I remember coming up out of that watery grave of baptism, as we say, and I was on fire, just enthused, and went to school the very next day and shared with my friends that I had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that I was a Christian. One of them looked at me and said, "You did what?" I said, "Yeah, I was baptized yesterday. I was naive. I thought that they would go along with it and thought that was a great thing." And they said, "Oh, that just means that you're not like one of us anymore." And I said something I shouldn't have said. It was a curse word. And I rejected the Lord that very hour. I'm not saying maybe you did what I did, but are there things that maybe you can relate with? There are times in my life where that I've had opportunities to speak up for Christ, and I didn't do that. And I trust that maybe I'm not alone in all of that. So therefore, in that sense, I am guilty, and I trust that maybe we all have been guilty of rejecting Jesus as what the crowd did. But my friends, also, there's one individual that maybe we don't really speak too much about, and that is Barabbas. When we think about Barabbas, what type of an individual was he? Barabbas was a thief, a known thief, right? In regard to the matter, caught red-handed, you might say. And he was in jail at the same time in which they, if you would, have incarcerated Jesus. And what is it that Pilate wants to do to kind of wash his hands of all this matter? He wants to give the people the choice. And I can't help but think in the back of my mind is that he was thinking to himself, if I present Jesus that I've already said I can't find any fault in, and I present Barabbas, they're going to say, well, we know Barabbas has done wrong. Therefore, I'm going to let them choose, and they're going to choose Barabbas, and I can let Jesus go. That's what goes on in my mind anyway. And what's he do? He presents both men before. And they say, release Barabbas and crucify him. I tell you what, I think if I'd have been Barabbas that day, I would have had to have gone to Jesus immediately and thanked him. I don't read that. I don't see anywhere in the scripture that it's ever mentioned that he was appreciative of what it is that the Lord did and took for him. And I think about what it is that the Lord has done and taken for each and every one of us, giving us freedom in Christ, giving us a whole nother chance in regard to our relationship with our God. And I ask, how often, if ever, are we thankful? Do we thank God for the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord? You see, sometimes we sing a song, do we not? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And yes, I'm going to say tonight, I've been there. I was there and I was the villain at some point in my life. And yet at the same time, while I am just as guilty as they were back then of crucifying Jesus, I'm thankful to God is that in His death that I have and that we all have another opportunity to start life over. You see, we can relate with these individuals because from time to time we do similar things as what they did. And the bottom line is that all of those things constitute sin in the sight of God, and the only way in which we can have forgiveness of those things is to have a penitent heart that turns to the Lord and obeys Him, beginning in baptism, and then a renewal of our lives. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want to invite you to come forward with this calling.